G'day, and welcome to the Wing It Podcast.
Illinois, they take out March Madness. They win it for sure.
Max King, 50 goals this season.
Yeah, Eduardo, he's my bet of the day, and he'll take out the Galaxy.
James Harden, MVP at $10. You heard it here first. G'day, and welcome back to another episode of the Wing It Podcast. So what is it? Episode number 21.
21. 9 plus 10.
Have you got everything in there, Cam? Have you got any numbers ready for us? Who's 21 at Port Adelaide?
Elia.
Exciting time.
I think it was Dersma last year, and yep. Now it's Elia. Nothing else on 21.
I think it is Marty Hoare, who's unfortunately did his knee at the start of the season.
You don't know the camera's on. They can still see you switch up on your phone despite. Yeah.
What? I don't know. I thought it was Bailey Fritch. But yeah, Marty Hoare, he's actually a really good player. He was really good a couple of seasons ago. Came in, played a really
strong role. All right, so anyway, moving on.
It was good in fantasy as well.
Yep.
But anyway, no, on to another episode of the Wing It Podcast. So obviously you all missed us. We couldn't record it for the last couple of days on the Tuesday that we normally do.
Apologies.
That's all right. But on the back of that, we're back on Thursday. So late night shopping, if you will. But no, back to our regularly scheduled programming from now on. Should be a really big week. Big week for footy. A lot of betting juice, in my personal opinion, coming up this week. A lot of
tough, tight games.
Yeah, after a really tough last couple of weeks, actually, with the tipping especially. But no, let's get into it, Cam. Got a lot of stuff to work through with our rumour mill, so you can kick it off, mate, with the Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles. What the fuck? We said last week they were we were confused what was going on with them and how they kind of adapt. We thought, oh, but lucky for them, they've got a game back in Optus to get themselves back on track.
Yeah.
And they drop it.
Shit.
To North Melbourne. And no disrespect to North Melbourne, they've actually been really good the last month.
Yeah.
But come on, Eagles can't be dropping that. And the way they dropped it too, they actually lost pretty good. I know it was only a 10-point margin or whatever it was, but they were beaten.
Yeah, for like 5-minute stretches there, the North Melbourne were just running over the top of them.
They were beaten.
Like, they were just running rings around them. And even players like Zerha and Zerha showing up like ridiculous. And then Larky, big Suv, showing up against the formidable defensive West Coast.
They're fucked. I don't think West Coast can come back from this now. They've got another – they're lucky again. They've got another reprieve this weekend with Adelaide. But we said that last week. So
– yeah, true.
And this one's away from home.
Debatably harder game.
Yeah, no, but – no.
Actually. Yeah.
I couldn't say that, but
– away against Adelaide instead of at home against North Melbourne.
I think Adelaide have been the worst team for the last 10 weeks, and that's statistically proven. So at least North have been somewhat competitive for a month.
Yeah, I assume so. I guess so.
But yeah, just I don't have anything else to say on it. Just Eagles, they are in absolute shit creek without a paddle. Yo's hurt himself at training, apparently. Kelly's got some knee tightness, something or other. Yeah. So
it's carnage out west.
It's carnage out west. It's a bad time to be a West Coast fan right now. It's a hard, hard watch.
Yeah, not wrong.
Next thing on the rumour mill, shorter quarters. This has been brought up by Chris Scott.
Yep.
He brought up the shorter quarters. What's your opinion on it? Because I don't think shorter quarters is the option.
Mm.
I'm still for reducing interchanges. I think that's the goal. But
why reduce interchanges? I didn't actually understand that when it came in. What is the purpose of that?
Well, there's two main reasons. One, it's going to reduce injuries. If you reduce interchanges.
Are you saying because they're on the bench getting cold?
Yes, and that's why we're pulling hamstrings like we never have before in our lives in AFL, because they're going cold, they're sprinting. They're cold, they're sprinting, they're cold. That's why they're twinging all these hamstrings and all those type of muscles.
Yeah,
it's because of that.
Like, coming from being a fan of other sports such as like soccer and basketball,
you
never really hear of hamstrings. Like,
no, you don't.
They barely happen. I can name probably three players this season in the NBA who've done a hamstring. I don't ever remember a player in soccer ever doing a hamstring.
No.
But that's because it's not interchanges frequently. They have time out.
We're the only sport in the world like it.
Yeah, not wrong.
We're the only sport in the world like it. So that's one of the main reasons. It's going to reduce injuries and soft tissue injuries in general.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's going to speed the game up because players are going to have fatigue.
Yeah.
And that, how are players who are tired going to make this game speed up? Because then it's going to be running on adrenaline. Players are going to be fatigued. It's going to open the game up.
Yep.
Everything's so 100% to speed right now that then once you actually reduce interchanges and players have to stay on the field for longer, the game's going to open up because you're not going to be able to run as fast as you normally would in the third quarter.
Yep.
And it's going to open up. There's going to be space.
And game management will be more important
for
players.
And there's a reason why football scoring has gone backwards in the last 10 years. And what's gone up? Interchange.
Yeah.
I was doing some study on games in the 2000s today. there was about 10 to 12 players who wouldn't even come to the bench once for a whole entire game.
Wow.
That was standard. Key forwards would never go to the bench.
No.
Key defenders would never go to the bench. It was pretty much just a thing for half forwards and midfielders. Now, Harry Mackay kicks a goal when he's on the bench. Yeah. He goes on the bench, kicks a goal.
Never understood that.
It's never made sense to me. And I think interchanges need, I think, I'm not sure what the number is now. I know a few years ago it was high.
I think 75.
Yeah, it was high 110s a couple of years ago. It's down to 75. I'd like to see it reduced again.
Yeah.
I would like to see it about 60.
Yeah.
I think that's a really nice, just round number. And what's that, about 15 a quarter it works out to? Any more than 15 interchanges a quarter?
Yeah, true.
That works for me. That's your midfield getting two rests, let's be real.
Yeah.
So 15 for a quarter, 60 for me, and I think that will open up the game and that'll make it a lot better.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah, I don't know about the shortened quarters. I don't think that leads to less injuries as such.
I don't think it speeds anything up either.
No, not at all. Yeah, I don't see how it would help. I guess the game last year with the shortened quarters, it was all right. The scoring was well down, even beyond the point of how less game time there was. Like, you look at some of the scores last year, like sort of 22 to 60 was like sort of like an average game you'd get.
Yeah, exactly right.
But then this year, it's back up to sort of like 100 to 78 and things like that. So, well, like you saw, I think a Bulldogs Charlton game was 115 to 105 or something like that.
But they are outliers. The games are overall low scoring.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is changing. I think the man on the mark rule worked for 3 weeks. Now it's not. I think that will be changed back to normal. Mm-hmm. They won't keep the stand rule. That'll go back to normal next year. But yeah, I think the only thing you can do is really reduce interchanges. That's the only thing for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't see that as the option. It's an easy thing to look at, like sort of law of averages. You're playing there where if you play less, then there's less likelihood you'll get injured, which I suppose is true to some extent. But then it's just going to be in 5 years, we'll be like, oh, 16 minutes, but that's too long to get injured. And then we're playing 3 minute quarters, yeah, next thing you know.
The AFL is so scared with head injuries. They're so worried about that. That's the biggest thing right now, is head injuries. Well, reduce the interchanges. Fatigue will set in. Players aren't going to be able to go 100 kilometres an hour at the ball in the fourth quarter. They're going to be gassed.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to reduce the chance of high impact injuries. It's as simple as that. So,
but do you feel like bringing on with less injuries, players not being as fit, do you feel like that will lead to more skill errors and a poorer quality of game?
I don't think so. No, because you look at footy in the early 2000s, that's some of the best football there ever been.
Yeah.
So, and that was exactly how the footy was. I don't think it reduces skill at all. No, I think you're still training 5 days a week. So,
and players just have to be fitter as well. Exactly. Like, you look at Lockie Whitfield, he can stay on all game, run around everywhere, and still have some of the most elite foot skills in the league. So,
exactly. So, no, I don't think it changes anything skill based. It just needs, players need to tank.
Hmm.
And so they should, they're footballers, for God's sake.
Exactly.
This whole
elite athletes.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, next thing we got on here is this is a tough one for me, but can we put a line through Port Adelaide as a premiership contender?
I cannot believe you've put that in there. That must have hurt you to put in there.
Oh, I wrote it meaning it.
Do you know who I hate now? Tom Jonas right now. Just as a side note, he was asked this question on the radio, I think it was, and he said, oh, yeah, well, you know, and completely dodged it and said, you look at Melbourne this year, that's like us last year. No injuries, everything's going our way. What's that got to do with your premiership hopes? What's it got to do with the Demons?
Well, he's not wrong.
Yeah, but what's it got to do with the Demons? Don't bring us up.
He's not wrong.
We're playing way better footy than you ever have, Tom Jonas.
That's not true.
Tom Jones has never been in a team that's playing as exciting and good brand footy as we have.
That's also not true.
That is 100% true. I don't see there's a way, unless somehow in the last three games of the season you turn around and beat top eight teams like it's easy, and then you go into finals and start knocking off teams that are obviously all going to be top eight.
Yeah.
Like no one's business, then unless you do that miraculously, I do not see that being any way you even play two finals.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think we'll probably finish fifth come end of season. So we'll probably win a final, you'd think, against whether that be West Coast or Fremantle, Richmond, et cetera.
Yep.
But, I can't see us going any further than that.
But it's just like, it's not even the fact that, you can look at your record and you could have been unlucky to win lose all games against top four.
No, I've been getting fucked.
Four games, yeah. It's like an average losing margin of like 25 points.
Oh, we got fucked by West Coast. Fucked by Brisbane.
West Coast, you guys. Dominated you. Like, it's probably one of the biggest, like, beatings of the year.
Yeah.
And then we just took over you.
Yeah,
we got when fucked. We've been in a bit of a slump, to be honest. So it's not really, this says more about you, I believe, than us.
I agree.
But yeah, it's a real worry for you guys. I think it's now more of a mental game. It's just a real mental thing for you. And the players are going in going, oh, they're a top eight side. Are we going to be able to beat them? And then they're sort of like not performing to the best of their abilities because they got that in the back of their mind.
Yeah, no, I'm not willing to put a line through. I've got a pencil line definitely through Port for a premiership. Mm. But like I said, hey, if we get all our cavalry back just before finals, we'll pretty much be a new team. So who knows? But so
who are you missing? You're missing Dersma.
Dersma, Butters, Robbie Gray. And that's huge. And then obviously our defence.
They're all game winners.
Oh, yeah. And then defence with Cleary has just been dropped, but he's just come back into the side. Yep. And they are game winners. That's your flair.
Yeah.
So, we'll say, and Harlett's still to come back in as well. So we'll see how we go. Anyway, but yeah, pencil lines for him right now.
It's been an interesting year for sure.
Anyway, moving on to the round 17 review. And obviously that first game was the Melbourne beating Port. We've spoken about Port.
You can have a
bit of a floor if you want for Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm not going to like sit here and be a bit of a dickhead and rub it in or anything like that. But what a win! What a win! Oh, my gosh.
Don't touch me.
Unbelievable. Obviously we went to the game, Adelaide Oval on a Thursday night. First Thursday night game I've ever been to, actually. I don't know about you, Cam. You've probably been to a couple. It was unbelievable atmosphere there. The Port fans were getting into it at the start of the game. The start of the game was electric. And sort of by half time, it was clear who the better side on the day were. And we sort of, just sort of proved our ability against sort of one of, I'd say, still the top sides in the comp at home, which has been historically pretty hard to beat you guys at home in the last sort of few years. So, it was a great game. And just hats off to some players who have been down a form, picked it up, likes of Tom McDonald, Cozzy Pickett, and then Petrarca going out and having 33-3 is just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, there's nothing anyone in the comp could have done for him that night. But the thing I noticed that was a bit worrying for you guys was just – I said this to you on the night. Travis Boke, the last few weeks, he just hasn't looked on.
Yeah.
But it's not like from a – he's getting old, he can't – he doesn't have the stamina or, as you said, statistics standpoint, it's like – those touches, he'd get the ball, quick handball, get the ball, lay someone out, and it's now he's missing targets that slight little bit. He's fumbling the ball a little bit. It's probably one of the first times I've seen him have like multiple fumbles in a game.
Yeah.
And then he got caught holding the ball a couple of times. I don't know. He just looks sort of like mentally not there sort of in the moment.
You're right.
Well, I don't know how you'd describe it, but your floor is yours, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. We looked like we had the game won actually in the third quarter. Like, we came back and we're looking like we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
We had the momentum.
Three straight, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think only 6-point margin or so, or 10-point margin tops. We look like we're going to run over and we just showed nothing. So, yeah, shit game, shit quality, all that sucked. Moving on. Saints upset the Lions. Huge win for the Saints. They're flying. They're the best team of the comp for the last 6 weeks, you could say.
Big time.
They're flying.
But did you say they had 19 men on the field against Richmond?
So I did for 7 seconds or six seconds
or something. Yes. And all the Richmond fans are saying, oh, give us the win, give us the win. turn it up. Saints.
It's interesting that. I don't know what the AFL is going to do with a punishment for that.
You can't do anything after the fact. I remember this rule, it was spoken about 2 or 3 years ago. You can't actually do anything after the fact. In the moment, you can reset the scores to zero.
Wow. If you pick it up.
Yeah, if you pick it up, that's the rule. You reset scores to zero.
Wow.
It doesn't matter how long they've been on for. Zero. How crazy is that?
And now, because after the fact, they can't do anything.
No, they can't do anything after the fact. Because it happened in a VFL grand final or something like that.
It's the words out of my mouth. It was North Adelaide, Sandful.
Was it Sandful?
It was North Adelaide, Josh Carr's team. And they ended up winning the game. And they took all their premiership points away the next season or took away whatever it was and made them start on zero, minus 20 points or something or other.
But they couldn't do anything about the actual game.
No, of course, no. Interesting. But St Kilda got the job done. They are flying.
Yeah, their midfield is just like the antithesis, not the antithesis, or the antithesis of other teams, but like the epitome of what they're doing right at the moment.
Yeah.
You got players in there like Luke Dunstan, Jack Steele, who's been doing it all year, to be fair, and Brad Crouch just going.
He's having a bit of a lull Crouch at the moment because Dunstan's already taken it over a bit. Dunstan's been huge.
But with that pressure, they're sort of all laying like 10 tackles each.
And you put Zach Jones in.
Yeah, put Zach Jones in as well, and you got Brad Hill off the halfback. But this is what we were talking about pre-season. We were really excited for this.
Oh, it's 16 weeks too late.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about how they had some of the like best tackling midfielders in the game.
Yes.
And like they was just laying no tackling pressure for the first, as you said, 16 rounds. And now they're just like taking over teams, like beating Richmond at their own game and now beating
Brisbane in Queensland.
In Queensland, like
that's huge.
Like no one does that apart from Richmond, pretty much. So
yeah, pretty much. But it makes me ponder Brisbane now. They've got Cam Rayner out for the season. Hipwood's done for the season.
Adams injury.
Adams is a key defender. You don't want to lose a key defender, no matter how
he's probably been their best defender this season.
No matter how highly ranked they are in player rankings, you don't want to lose a key defender to any team.
Not saying that he's better than Harris Andrews, but no. I feel like he has been better this season.
But yeah, Brisbane, I think they're a little bit worried with Hipwood out because that fucks up their forward structure big time. Now you've got to bring in Tom Fullerton or whoever they're going to bring in as that second tall one. That just isn't going to – like you don't have to put a player on Tom Fullerton, let's be real. No disrespect to the kid, but that really makes Danaher's job hard.
Yeah.
And we've seen what Danaher does when he's under the pressure. We know what Danaher's like, 20 metres out, straight in front, not good. So I'm not putting a line through Brisbane. I still think they're a quality side.
Yeah. They've
got – but and. Taking a hit.
Yeah, no, I think I'm ready to put a line through them now.
The armour has a dent, doesn't it? So
yeah, literally, like from 1 week, I think last week we were saying about how they're still my premiership favourites. I had them to win the flag at the start of the season.
Yeah,
and you said yeah, they're now the clear front runners for the chip. So, but no, I don't see there's a way that they can win it now with Adams not being healthy. They don't have a second key defender now. With Hipwood, I was about to say, yeah, don't have a second key forward at all. And you could say that Charlie Cameron's been like underwhelming this season. He actually is their leading scorer. So
yeah,
which makes no sense in my mind.
I see, because Danaher and Hipwood have just been sharing it.
Yeah,
but now we're asking one of them to take over, and I don't think they have either that have there in their body.
Nah, Mick Stay and McCarthy. I just don't see them as the ones to do that. And like, a big O in years gone by was good at going forward and being that other tall.
Yeah.
With Hipwood, but nowadays obviously he's full time ruck
with Steph Martin gone.
Yeah,
exactly.
With Steph Martin gone, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Brisbane do, but. Yeah, over the next sort of few weeks, I don't see it looking too good for them, unfortunately.
No, neither do I. No, they won't get a home final now, I don't think. I don't know if they'll drop to three or fourth.
Well, I think even you guys could sneak into the top four.
Because we've got a nice run home, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. Big test this Friday night, so.
Yes, huge test. All right, now the next one. Sydney, the real deal. They knock off Bulldogs, who you could arguably say has been the best, if not the second best team all year.
Yeah.
And they beat them well. Sydney beat them really, really well.
They're leading most of the game.
Yeah, from start to finish, really. It was Sydney were in control. They looked dominant. Buddy looks like he doesn't look like he's playing hurt. He looks like he's
fresh.
He's fit. Heaney's still doing his thing. The midfield still works. Hickey's great.
Yep.
Defense is good.
They've got the perfect blend of experience and youth at the moment.
They're a good side.
Well, Errol Goulden comes in and he just shakes them up a massive amount and just provides that sort of that dynamite, that ball carrying. And that sort of, the leg speed that they need in their midfield as well.
They're really good. So, Sydney, I can't knock them at all. No. We were saying for a long time, this purple patch will end.
Yeah.
No, they're a genuine top six team.
They've always been a hard team to beat.
Always.
But you'd beat them.
Oh, yeah.
But nowadays, they're a hard team to win against.
100%. You don't want to face Sydney anytime soon.
Not at all. I think if they went on to win it this year from sort of fifth, sixth, would not be shocked whatsoever.
Yeah, neither would I.
Because
not at all.
It's just so hard to beat them.
Like, they got match winners everywhere.
You never tick Sydney off. Through my lifetime, it's never been like that.
And you need match winners in your forward line, and they've got them in spades.
Yeah.
When you've got Buddy Franklin in any forward line, no worries. And you throw in an Isaac Heaney, they can win your games.
And Will Hayward's really taken
and
after
Hayward's
Buddy
a really
as well.
Nice player too.
And Dawson. How about Jordan Dawson?
Yeah, he's always been such a nice kick of the ball. And now
since the bye, he's averaged 26 touches.
And kicking, I think, 2 to 3 goals a game as well. He's
been
moved
unreal.
Up. He's been playing because he's always been the halfback who's going to run forward and kick goals. But it looks like he's playing more of like a wing type role.
Yeah, he's playing
now.
A wingman role now. So,
and that suits his kicking. And why not? He kicked 3 goals on the weekend. He had 2 goals, 3 the weekend, week before. Like, he's having 3-4 shots a game.
I saw a breakdown of what he's really doing at the moment. And he's really just like maintaining Sydney's width because they're a very contested ball team, a lot of inside midfielders. But he's maintaining their width for them. And then he's coming on the outside and he's right there on the cusp of the 50. Anywhere inside 60 for him is absolutely just
shooting
practice. But yeah, so anytime he gets inside that 50, and he's not often a free man because he's just staying so wide for them, he just belts it right in. So yeah, really impressive. Really impressed me since the buy. So
there's a lot of rumors about him potentially coming home to Adelaide Crows. I don't think they can. That door's been slammed shut now. The way he's playing, I don't think Sydney will let him go.
No. At all. Where's he from again?
He's from here.
Yeah, but where?
I don't know.
Oh, I heard about it the other day. I forgot where it was.
And the last game of note we've got written down here, Collingwood had a 7-1 last quarter to beat Richmond.
Huge.
7-2 to 1-2 to beat Richmond.
That, I don't think any side in the comp could have beaten them in that fourth quarter.
Unbelievable.
That's how good they were.
Dugowie took over. Grundy was exceptional.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Hoskin Elliott, Adams. Adams especially.
Adams
was
especially
insane. And yeah, just everyone. Like,
now, Collingwood, they're really fun. When they click, they are fun.
Yeah.
They are a great side when it all clicks. It hasn't clicked a lot this year, but it's good when it has.
We've spoken about it all year.
Top-end talent. They are
probably the best top-end talent in the league.
Yep.
And then now they've just gone out in the last couple of games. They've shown that. They've shown that the top-end talent can get you over the line in fourth quarters 100%. Especially.
Against a Richmond team who are desperate to win. So, huge win for Collingwood. Huge win for Robert Harvey to get his coaching career kicked off.
Yeah, so, great tip there as well. You tipped that one on the last podcast. So
thank you. All right, onto our winger player of the week. Would you like to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Why not? So my winger player of the week for last week, it was a really tough game. It was a game in Ballarat. So it's always tough when it's in Ballarat. Windy, cold, very windy actually. It was like, probably the most ridiculous win I've ever seen at a footy game in my entire life. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, what was it? It was the first quarter, and Toby Green got it in the centre square from, like, 70 out, and he just goes, oh, fuck, I may as well roost this. And then just roost, like, 65 with ease. Like, barely put anything into it. Yeah,
just put it all through.
It was ridiculous. And there was one point Phil Davis kicked into the forward 50, and he just wanted to set it up right in the middle of the forward 50, and went right to the goal square. No one expected it. So, it was full on wind from one end to the other. But one player who really stood up in the conditions was Charlie Ballard. So, congratulations to you, mate. Well done. Yes. We picked another Gold Coast player of the week.
We love Gold Coast.
I think we've picked like five or six at this rate. Probably to be honest, Noah Anderson, Will Power. Jack Bowes, Charlie Ballard, and probably someone else as well.
I think had one too.
Lukosius had one.
Anderson?
Yeah, I think I said Anderson.
Yeah, a lot.
Everyone's had one. So, Charlie Ballard was unbelievable on the weekend against the GWS Giants game that the Giants needed to win. So, after losing to Hawthorn, which really dampened their top eight aspirations, this was a must-win game, which would have got them into the top eight come round's end with Richmond losing. But Charlie went out there and he had 19 disposals, 9 marks and 15 intercept possessions.
That's huge.
Ridiculous.
From 19 touches. And every time he touched the ball was an intercept pretty much.
And it was like watching the game, it felt like more than that. His impact on the game was huge. Even at the end when Toby Green was lining up for goal, all he needed was a point to draw it. Who's there to mark it right on the goal line? Charlie Ballard.
He had a huge game.
Huge game. Probably best game of his career in the conditions that did not suit him whatsoever. So
I'd hate to see his one percenters. He probably 10 spoils on top of that don't trouble his stats.
Literally. Huge. And, just playing on a really talented GWS forward line. It was mainly on Himmelberg, I think, most of the day. So, really impressive from him and really impressive from the Suns in totality. So
very, very good game by Charlie. Well done. All right. My biggest player of the week, I've gone with Jaden Stevenson, last game of the round on the Monday. 30.
Also, can I just say something?
Touches.
Can I say something? Charlie, haven't forgiven you for stepping on my toe in whatever year it was. We were playing basketball and you stepped on my toe and it started bleeding everywhere.
Yes.
So haven't forgiven you for that. So.
Was it basketball? Or indoor soccer?
Basketball. No, it was basketball.
Anyway.
I remember because I kept traveling.
Interesting. Anyway, dog's never forgotten that, Charlie, clearly.
Never.
Anyway, back to poor Jaden Stevenson. My winger player of the week is Jaden Stevenson. 38 touches, 22 kicks, and 10 marks. That's a game of like, that's a pick out of a game.
And you normally don't look at a 38 disposal stat line and say it didn't do justice to his stat line. But I think you can in this aspect.
Because when he has the ball, he's so fucking fast. He does a lot with the ball. His meters game was 547, and that was top by some margin. Only one who was close was Shannon Hearn, and we know what Shannon Hearn does with the ball.
Exactly.
So he and Zeeble was the next one closest. He took the ball, he ran with it, he sprints by. He's showing Collingwood how much they really shouldn't have got rid of him because he's still so young.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, but I'm going to guess 24.
Yeah, about that. If not younger.
If not younger.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good player, and he's showed he can play through the midfield now. With Cunnington out, he's got a big role to fill, and I think he's going to be able to fill it.
Yep.
So I think James Stevenson, this move to North Melbourne is going to pay dividends. He would have hated it at first.
Yeah, oh, big time.
He would have hated it. But now I reckon he's going, shit, this might work out very well because North Melbourne are going up, he's going up, and it all looks well.
Yeah, so they're on the same trajectory.
Aren't they just? So James Stevenson, my player of the week, 150 fantasy points.
Oh, huge.
Unbelievable game.
Won some people some fantasy leagues, fantasy draft leagues for sure.
Oh, definitely. So well done to James Stevenson.
James Stevenson, 14 touches in the last quarter as well,
huge.
Mate.
When the game was on the line, exactly.
Picked it up and really stood up for a young team as well. So it was amazing to see that from him.
All right, now on to our preview.
Yep. AFL Wing It tip-off.
Let's get going. I've got the lines up on here from what they were yesterday. Things are subject to change thanks to COVID going into lockdown. So let's kick it off with – oh, should we quickly go through – oh, we'll quickly go through last week.
Yeah, when we get to it, though.
All right, when we get to it.
Yeah, you go.
So tipping-wise, I beat Dogger again.
Again.
You got three tips, I got four, so it puts the ledge on myself at 11.
Dogger, are you on 100 tipping for the year or not?
No, so it puts me on 11 for
I'm
the
over
last.
That now,
puts me onto 11. The Wing It listeners don't give a fuck about your little shitty league on ESPN. The Wing It listeners care about our league, which is me on 11 and you on 9. So anyway, now let's move on to our this week. Tonight, in an hour or so, Fremantle taking on Geelong. Geelong, 8.5-point favourites. I'm taking Fremantle happily.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
But you're taking Geelong.
But I will take Geelong, so I will disagree with it. But no, I think it's just going to be a really close game. It's in Optus. They've had, 15 days now consecutive of rain? Is that what you're saying?
Something was ridiculous like that.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So sheep grazers warning, the whole lot in Perth. So last year, I remember this game very vividly. We won a great game of social basketball, and we went to the pub to watch Freo versus Geelong.
It was the worst game of footy I watched.
And it was the worst game of footy I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, it was.
So I think it was like 10 goals keep between the sides, and I think you'll see the same thing tonight. So I think it'll be a really low-scoring affair.
It's not pissing down the rain at the moment, though. So
oh, it wasn't earlier today. So, yeah,
but please, guys, do the game at least. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. As proven by Matt's multi last week, I have no idea about the weather anywhere, especially in Perth. I'll be taking Geelong in this one, in a very close one. I'll take them by 8 just to ruin the line.
Nice. All right. Next game, Friday night, Richmond and Brisbane. Brisbane are currently 13.5-point favourites.
Yep.
This game is at the MCG. Kane Lambert back into the side. Toby Nankervis is back into the side.
Huge.
Before those ins, I was taking Richmond regardless.
Interesting. Yep. Why?
Richmond can't lose 4 in a row or whatever it is, 3 in a row.
We thought they couldn't lose 3 in a row.
No, they're not going to lose this. That's my only rationale. Mm. Brisbane, I'm ready to put a line through them regardless of hit put out.
Yep.
And now you lose Adams. And Richmond are not going to lose another game. They get Nankervis back in, who they've missed so, so bad.
Yep.
And Lambert's their glue guy. And this is before they even came in. I thought they'd win. They just don't lose. They won't lose another game at home. Simple as that.
Yeah, I was easily going to tip Brisbane. But then I saw the ins with Richmond, and Kane Lambert is a game winner, 100%. He's proven it year on, year on. He proved against Port in the prelim. Just had to mention that. Sorry.
Yes, he did.
With Adams out, it's huge for Brisbane. Obviously, it's going to be Jack Rewalt's 300th. So him and Lynch up front with Nankervis as well. But Nankervis, him being back, it's not just him in the ruck. It's his ability to mark. He's one of the best marking ruckmen in the league. And that ability to have that bigger body down back, up forward, on the wing, wherever you need it, is huge for them. So
I hope he can do that, because there's a lot of doubts he was even going to play this game because of fitness.
Oh,
they were saying he had to do pass a test literally like this morning just to even think about getting close.
Wow.
He is nowhere near 100% fit. I think that Dimmers is hitting the panic button.
That's how bad they need him.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if we're going to see him really take over the game like he can, but he's still a big in.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking Richmond in this one.
Damn it. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, only because of the ins.
Damn it. So you didn't look at him.
So, Cam, on the topic, do you think there's any way Richmond can make finals?
Yeah, they'll make finals.
You're that confident?
Yeah, they'll make finals.
Really?
Yeah, they'll make 8. They'll finish 7th or 8th.
Wow.
I can't trust. Is anyone going to trust Fremantle when they play the next?
No.
Fremantle will play the whole entire top four in the next 4 weeks.
Literally.
They play Geelong tonight. They play Bulldogs. Then they play Brisbane.
And they just don't play the Demons. That's it.
That's it.
But they play like West Coast in West Coast or something.
Yeah, the Derby, which is always a tough game.
Yeah, yeah.
So good luck, Fremantle. If you can win 2 of those games, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
But they'll win one tonight, and then I'll win one of the other ones if they're lucky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they're out. And West Coast can't trust them anymore either. So, no,
not at all.
Richmond, St Kilda can't trust. Richmond will get in. No worries.
Interesting. Yeah, there you go.
I got no doubts.
And this will be a kickstart for them to do that.
Yeah, no doubts in my mind. All right, now onto the Battle of the Bridge. Gold Coast taking on Sydney. Sydney are 11.5-point favourites. I think it's going to be a ripper of a game.
Yeah.
I'll be taking Sydney to win this in a tight one.
Yeah, I'll be taking Sydney in a really tight one for this. 1-39, they're paying over $2. So I think that's really good odds for a Sydney team that hasn't really been blowing teams out, apart from West Coast. West Coast suck, though.
Yep.
But no, this game's always really close between the two. And I think, yeah, after Sydney won the last one, GWS won the last one, I think Sydney will be out to get them and really want to sort of push themselves, maybe even to top four spot with Brisbane sort of falling off a little bit. So
and Port, so
yeah. Yeah, and Port, see how we go. So,
all right, now so both taking Sydney,
yeah.
On to the next game, Gold Coast and Bulldogs. Now that leads on to our Brown Bats bet of the week.
Yep,
we are taking. Well, we're both taking the Bulldogs to win this game, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, quite easily.
Unsurprisingly.
They beat them by 60 last time they played in this season. So,
but here we are. So our Brown Bats bet of the week. Our bankroll is currently 82. Yeah, because we are after our loss. So we are putting $32 on the Western Bulldogs at a $1.86 line to beat Gold Coast in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Their line is 5.5 to win the first quarter.
That's all they have to do. Beat them by one goal.
And they've been dominant in first quarters, right?
Mate, they have not lost a single first quarter all year apart from to Sydney and Melbourne. That's it.
That's it.
So they've only lost two premiership contending teams.
Yeah.
Shout out to Wayne Ward, our premiership contending team. I think this line, absolutely juice. Gold Coast have won one first quarter all year. They lost the last first quarter they played to GWS by 8 points and obviously went on to win the game. So, yeah, I think this is absolutely free money after, I believe, early in the year, the Gold Coast Suns didn't score a goal in the first quarter.
No.
And Bulldogs put 6 on them in the first quarter. So, yeah, see how we go. But I think, yeah, this is absolute lock. Gamble responsibly, but that's our Brown Bats bet of the week.
It just doesn't sound right hearing nearly double your money for Doggies to win a first quarter by a goal against Gold Coast.
And we've got on it before. We got on it in that Freo game. It's just free money.
One goal. That's it. So we love it, and that's our Brown Bats bet of the week. All right, and we're both taking Bulldogs to win the game.
Yeah, quite comfortably. I think Dunkley back, Norton back, absolutely huge. And I think they're going to be pushing into people's power rankings as the best team in the comp come the next couple of weeks. So
tend to agree. All right, next game. Hawthorn take on Melbourne. Melbourne 41.5-point favourites.
Yep.
Go on, Dover.
Yeah, no, this game, I don't understand the line. I understand it from sort of a like Team A versus Team B sort of standpoint where Hawthorn have just been horrendous and Melbourne have been flying, obviously, at the top of the ladder. So it's amazing how a team can go from one game to fifth, one loss to fifth, next week they're clear top. Stupid fucking articles talking the Demons down, saying they're nearly fifth, whatever. I think the Demons will win this one in a relatively close one. So it's always been a pretty tough contest between the two. Hawthorn have previously had the wood on us, but I think the last couple of years we've had the wood on them with some big wins, and it's always been relatively close. Like even earlier in the year, we were, I think it was about 3 points in it going into the fourth quarter. And end up winning by about 36 because we nailed on 8 goals in the last quarter. So, yeah, I think Melbourne will win in a close one. And I think Hawthorn line, definitely good value there.
And, yes, it just shocks me how long Dog can speak for on a game with a 40.5-point margin. But anyway, moving on. I'll be ticking to being the Demons pretty comfortably too.
Yeah.
Port and Saints, 2.5-point line, taking Port not comfortably, not confidently at all.
I can't believe you're not confident in them.
I'm so far from confident.
Mate, I think you need to bounce back after last game.
Till we ever.
Saints are sort of a top eight team, top eight hopeful, yeah. But obviously not in the top eight. So that means you can beat them because they're not in the top eight yet.
Statistically, we shouldn't lose.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't lose at all. So, I think Saints have been a bit of a purple patch. They've been really good. Midfield's been good.
Really good.
Yeah, but I don't see Port losing this one at all. I honestly think that Port could win by 40+, and it wouldn't shock me whatsoever. In Marvel, doesn't really matter. I think Port take this one very comfortably, and Port's line at minus 2.5, easy money. They're head-to-head at $1.82. Easy money. I'm very confident in it.
I like your confidence. Thanks, mate. I don't. All right. North Melbourne take on Essendon. Essendon are 18.5-point favourites. I'll be taking Essendon to win. I would have a play on North Melbourne's line because 18 seems about right. I can see about a 14, 16-point margin. So I'll take Essendon's line. North's line. But, Essendon win.
Essendon, I wouldn't be taking North's line in this. I don't know why, but Essendon should be pumping teams lately.
Do we think pumping Crows their worst ever score counts?
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
I think Essendon, it's more Crows being shit.
But Essendon are either losing or pumping teams. They're not winning close ones. I don't think they've won a close one all year. Because they lost game to the Hawks, didn't they?
Up or down 40, whatever it was.
I forgot who won that, but I think Hawks end up winning. Yeah. And then they come in like they pump the Hawks later in the year. They get pumped by the Tigers, Dreamtime in Perth.
Yep.
And then they come in, as we said before, pump the Crows. So, yeah, I think it's either going to be a really close win for North Melbourne or a pumping for Essendon. I'll be taking Essendon at this stage. Not very confidently, I don't reckon, because I think the teams are actually evenly matched.
Yeah, I think they are. And I think North's great.
Yeah.
But Cunnington hurts out.
Cunnington out does hurt a lot. Player. Yeah. I think, with some of the young players they're going to throw into that midfield, Essendon's midfield might prove a little bit too experienced and a little bit too good for them. So I'm going to take Essendon this one, but I think I honestly could go either way. It wouldn't surprise me.
Jeez, North win. They're generally looking to get off bottom of the table.
Yeah, literally, yeah. The Crows have been that bad.
Saying, Crom, boys, my hot wing's starting to get on track. Bradley Race and Hamish Williams settled down. All right. Collingwood take on Carlton. Carlton are 1-point favourite, so it's a level playing field.
Yeah.
Flip a coin for this game for me, and I'll be leaning on Collingwood. Like I said, I nipped at Cohen again.
It's at the MCG, isn't it?
Yeah.
No big ins, no big outs.
No big ins, no big outs.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking Collingwood.
Liam Jones back for Cohen's big.
Doesn't matter. I think, Collingwood, I think they'll win it. They showed me too much in the last quarter of last game.
And they'll take that form into this game, you think. What have they shown us this year apart from being dog shit?
Yeah, and literally trying to lose fourth quarters. That's what Carlton have tried
literally.
To do. I think Collingwood would probably take advantage of Carlton, who is they're in a bit of no man's land. I'd actually be surprised if Cripps plays this game.
Yeah.
I think he could be laid out.
I think so too.
Because
he looks sore. He is sore.
He had like a hamstring tightness in the last game.
He had a corky on the other side too or something.
He had really bad ankle injury where he couldn't even kick on his right ankle all week, apparently. I'll be taking Collingwood in this one. I think Taylor Adams and the Collingwood midfield are just going to step up against.
Yeah, I think they're going to run riot.
Yeah, I think.
And Brody Grundy's is going to go bananas.
Carlton midfield just can't keep up with it. No. Like, without Cripps, obviously, it would be Sam Walsh, Dow, Matt Kennedy, Ed Curno.
And the fact that you're listed four of those players in the starting AFL midfield is kind of laughable.
Yeah, literally is. So, sort of three players who weren't getting into the team at the start of the season at all.
Melbourne or Port's beast B grade team.
Definitely not. I reckon Collingwood will win this at the G.
I think so too. On to the last game of the round.
Yep.
It's Crom and the Eagles. You could make the argument for the two worst teams of the past month.
Worst game of the round.
Eagles have been past bad. They've been disgusting.
Can I tip a draw?
And Crom are coming off their lowest score in the club's history. And since round four, they were 2-1, I think Crows were. They've lost, I think, 10 of the 11 or something. They're just being woeful. This looks to be a stinker.
Mate, I don't even know what to
do. And I'm tipping the away team in Eagles just because if Eagles want to be a top 8 team, which I think they can be and they should be, they can't lose again, right?
Pending weather, if there is a drop of rain in Adelaide, which is looking there is going to be actually.
Oh, yeah, it's been raining last week, hasn't
it? If there is a drop of rain, 70% chance, I believe, on Sunday, I'll be tipping the Crows. There is no rain, I'll go for the Eagles.
And Tim Kelly and Yo, injury clouds over them. I mean, they're not listed as outs, but who knows? It's a Sunday game.
This is the hardest tip of the week for me, honestly.
I'm going to tip the Eagles just because I think they have to win a game. They have to win.
They suck so bad. Barris out. But Crows have Dodai out and Luke Brown out. But if it's raining...
They're most important defender, bar none.
But if it's raining, I think that sort of negates it a little bit. I think Liam Ryan will have a good game. Regardless of the result, I'll stick to it. That's what we put into the tips. If it rains, Crom. If it doesn't rain, Eagles.
All right, you can add your bet. All right, moving on to Matt's multi.
Matt's multi.
Let's go.
You nearly so won. Close. So brutally close.
Close as you've been.
It looks so on. We won Zach Merritt 30 touches. We won Jake Lloyd 25 touches. Could have taken him 30, to be honest, easily. And I was like, all right, I'll put in Jaden Short for 25 touches. And I'm like, oh, no, changed it. Took Jaden Short out. He's already been a part of Matt's multi. Easily got it, obviously. So I put in Aaron Hall for 30 instead. It was the Brown Bats bet of the week.
And it rained.
It was looking so on, and it pissed down in Perth for like 4 days straight.
We didn't know that.
No, we didn't know that.
It was a Monday afternoon game.
Exactly. We filmed it on a Tuesday. The following Monday,
I'm not Dick it's Whittaker. Raining. I'm no forecast man.
Exactly. And Aaron Hall, he went out. He had 24 touches instead of the 30 that we needed. So Matt's multi, oh so close to that loss. Oh so close to that win. But this week, we've had an extra leg just to spice things up. Why not?
Just because you need it.
But this week, all right, it could all be over Friday night. We'll see how we go. honestly, don't know.
I love doing that.
Yeah, but oh well. Kick off. We'll go again. But no, so this week, first leg is going to be Hugh McCluggage 25 plus disposals. So at the Gabba, Hugh McCluggage tears up at home, especially with the uncontested possessions. So we've got Hugh McCluggage against the Richmond Tigers, who have given up a lot of uncontested possessions and uncontested marks this season, and have been one of the worst for giving up touches to midfielders in the last 5 weeks as well. So he's the first leg, and I believe he's paying $2 for that.
Two schmackos right now.
And then the second leg, I'm going to go with the villain of last week. I'm going to go with Aaron Hall.
We're doubling down on him.
Aaron Hall, 25 touches. He's paying $1.57 this week. He's juice. He's due for a big game. He had 24 last week in probably the peak worst conditions he could play his game in.
The worst.
But this week, under maybe even the roof of Marvel, against Essendon, who have been giving it up to Backman of the last few weeks, I think he's really going to tear up, and he's going to bounce back just for Matt Smolty.
Let's hope so.
And then I think in this Demons game, Ben Brown's going to have his second game, so hot winged for that to come soon. So I think that frees up a defender for Bailey Fritch, who's been good for 2 goals already every game this season pretty much. So I'm going to go him for 2 goals. Paying $1.40 is far over, in my opinion, against what looks to be a 40-point margin, as the traders think. So yeah. I'll be taking Bailey Fritch as the third leg for 2 goals. And then the fourth and final leg.
Of course.
Same as last week, it was the final leg. It's the Brown Bats bet of the week. It's the Bulldogs. Oh, there it is. It's the Bulldogs for the win, -5.5 in the quarter-time line.
Yeah.
So I just don't see any way it doesn't get done for them. We're juicing up the odds a little bit this week. $9 boosted. So bit juicier the odds this week.
If you're a degenerate and you've used all your boosts, $8.20.
Yeah, so Cam Maxey hasn't used all his boosts this week, which is fantastic. So I'm happy you're gambling responsibly these days, young fella.
Thank you, Mum.
But yeah, so I think Matt's multi this week. We could be on. Follow if you wish. Gamble responsibly, and let's just hope for a win.
I'm not going to say anything in your multi.
All we can do is hope for a win.
All right, onto our hot wings.
Hot wings, yes. The
hot wings have been in form recently. I mean, last week we both.
I reckon we're probably on a streak of like.
What was your five last week?
Hot wings in a row we've got right.
Definitely not. What was yours last week?
Don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. So I'm sure we got one right. Oh, no, I didn't get mine right.
Maybe.
Anyway, we're probably like 4 for 5, I reckon. So my hot wing this week is a... I need my glasses. All right, my hot wing for the week. Can you believe that only one team out of every game this round, one home team, is a favourite?
Interesting.
So I'm going to say at least 5 home teams are going to win. I'm going to be backing 5 underdogs to win this week.
Wow. And you're going to pick them out, or is that too hot? Is that too hot?
Well,
too spicy.
I can pick out 5 I like. So, for example, I think Fremantle will win. They're underdogs. Richmond will win. They're underdogs. I think GWS could win. I think Melbourne are the only favourite. Yep. They will win. I think Saints could easily win. North could easily win. Collingwood will, and Crom could. So, wow. And they are all underdogs bar Melbourne. The only home team is a favourite. I don't think I've ever said that before. So I think 5 home teams will win this week, despite them all being underdogs by one.
There you go. Very exciting stuff. Yeah. That should be good. Hopefully that gets up. Our streak of hot wingers will continue.
Yes.
Mine is pending from last week. It was Luke Parker for top 10 in the Brownlow.
Yes, that's right.
Obviously hasn't happened yet, so probably right though.
Yeah.
Book it in. But no, my hot wing for the week this week, he came in last week for his third game of the season, I think, and then he's coming up against a Hawthorn team who do not have any defenders right now.
No.
So no Scrimshaw, no Jaff, no Sicily, obviously, all season. But Benny Brown is going to kick four snags and he's going to make his mark on this Melbourne team and solidify himself in the team come our finals run. And it's paying $6.50 if you want to gamble responsibly on that one.
I like that.
Yeah, four goals. Like, he's a man who's kicked 10 on Cleary before.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Zero last week.
But he was great crashing packs last week, making leads, bringing Cleary out completely out of the game.
Yeah.
And he even laid two tackles inside 50.
Has he ever done that before in his career? Combined?
Probably not.
No, I don't think he'd have two career.
He had laid zero tackles for the Demons before that. Two in one game. Huge. Fantastic. But no, so Ben Brown, four goals, $6.50. That's my hot wing this week.
I like that one. That's a good one. I'll probably play on that.
Yeah, I'll play on that 100%. Yeah, maybe not. See how we go. Don't have the best form.
No, we don't. All right, that's episode 21 done.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on Instagram
at Winger Podcast.
Follow us on TikTok
at Winger Podcast.
Make sure you check out all of our YouTube videos
at Winger Podcast.
And also have a listen to us on Spotify, which you probably already listened to on now.
Yes, at Winger Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Good night.